kitten was not his mother, and the hen was not his mother, so the baby bird went on. You guys doing all right? Keeping up with the story? I have to find my mother, he said. But where? Where is she? Where could she be? He came to a dog. Are you my mother? He said to the dog. I am not your mother. I am a dog, said the dog. Well, the kitten was not his mother. The hen was not his mother. The dog was not his mother. So the baby bird went on and came to a cow. Are you my mother? He said to the cow. How could I be your mother? Said the cow. I'm a cow. Well, the kitten and the hen were not his mother. The dog and the cow were not his mother. Did he even have a mother? I did have a mother, said the baby bird. I know I did. I have to find her. I will. I will. Now the baby bird did not walk and he ran. He saw a car. Could that thing be his mother? No, that could not be. The baby bird did not stop. He ran on and on. He looked away, way down, and he saw a boat. There she is, said the baby bird. He called to the boat, but the boat did not stop. The boat went on. He looked up, way up, and he saw a big airplane. Here, I am, mother, he called out, but the plane did not stop. It went on. Just then, the baby bird saw one big thing. You see it on the screen now. This must be my mother. There she is, he said. That's my mother. He ran right up to it. Mother, mother, here I am, he said to the big thing. But the big thing just said, snort. I've been practicing that one all week. Oh, you are not my mother, said the baby bird. You are a snort. I have to get out of here. The baby bird could not get away. The snort went up, and it was carrying the bird. It went way, way up, and up, and up, and up went the baby bird with it. But now, where was the snort going? Oh, oh, oh! What is the snort going to do with me? Get me out of here! Just then, the snort came to a stop. Where am I? Said the baby bird. I want to go home. I want my mother. Then something happened. The snort put the baby bird right back in the tree. The baby bird was home. Just then, the mother bird came back to the tree. Do you know who I am? He said to the baby. She said to the baby. Yes, I know who you are, said the baby bird. You're not a kitten. You're not a hen. You're not a dog. You're not a cow. You're not a boat. You're not a plane. Or you're not a snort. No, said the bird. You are my mother. How about that? There you go. Are you my mother? Okay, very good. Children's book, wild applause, Pathway Church. Tweet it. Some of you understood that. Moms have felt pressure all throughout history. I want you to think all the way back. Eve, Adam and Eve. Eve was blamed for original sin. A lot of pressure. If you know Hagar, Hagar was Abraham's handmaiden, and she had a son by him and sent him away by Abraham with her boy, Ishmael, and he almost died in the desert. Pressure on a mom. Jochebed was Moses' mom. The Egyptians were killing all of the male Hebrew babies to curb population, and they placed Moses, this son, in a basket and let him loose on a river. Think about Mary, the mother of Jesus. There's no room for her in the inn. Think about she had to flee to Egypt to escape Herod's wrath. Think about what she endured as her son endured the crucifixion. But there's a less prominent mom. I think of this title, Are You My Mother? There's a less prominent mom that we read about in the Bible, and it's in Matthew's gospel. In fact, if you have your Bible, you can open to Matthew chapter 15. We're going to read a little bit of this story today. And this was a mom, and it's an interesting topic here. This mom had a real issue. She was feeling the struggles that I mentioned in some of these Bible moms. She had a daughter who the Bible says that was possessed by a demon. I want to pick the story up for you and read this to you and let you enjoy what the lesson from God's word is today as we think about it on this Mother's Day. So I'm at Matthew chapter 15. I'm at verse 21. We'll read a few of these verses. Then Jesus left Galilee and went north to the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Gentile woman who lived there came to him, pleading, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David, for my daughter is possessed by a demon that torments her severely." If you're just getting there, I'm at verse 23. But Jesus gave her no reply, not even a word. Remember that. Remember this too. Then the disciples urged him to send her away. "Tell her to go away," they said. "She's only bothering us with all of her begging." Well, Jesus said to the woman, I was sent only to help God's lost sheep, the people of Israel. Well, but she came and she worshiped him, pleading again, Lord, help me. And Jesus responded, it isn't right to take food from the children and throw it to the dogs. Now, verse 27, we'll kind of bring this home here. She replied, well, that's true, Lord, but even the dogs are allowed to eat the scraps that have fallen beneath the master's table. Dear woman, Jesus said to her, your faith is great. Your request is granted. And her daughter, that was possessed by a demon, was instantly healed. It's interesting. You know, I think about this mom, and we read this story, and I have this question. Have you ever known someone whose entire character can be summed up with the four words that are on the screen right now? Your faith is great. That's what Jesus looked at the woman at the end of this conversation, and he looked at her and said, your faith is great. This was a Canaanite woman who came from a country north of Palestine, and that was a country that was hostile toward Jews. She was probably married, and she had at least one child, and that's really all we know about her. In fact, in this story, we know she has great faith, but we don't even know her name. All we know is that in this single encounter with Jesus, he said to her, woman, your faith is great. Only four words, but there's enough there to enshrine her as one of the greatest moms in the Bible. There's a simple but powerful, I guess, hidden lesson almost in this dialogue between this mom and Jesus. The lesson is clarified in the four words that are on the screen. Your faith is great. See, our lives are not applauded in the heavens by promoting our own name. Our lives are not applauded in the heavens because we become the best athlete or the smartest person in the room or the strongest or the richest or even the most accomplished or any other thing that you can accomplish. That's not where the applauds come from in the heavenlies. Our lives are noticed by Jesus when we reflect his character. Our lives are recognized by our faith, by our complete trust in God is. Our lives are applauded when we can hear the words said to us directly, your faith is great. Jesus is an expert on faith. The Bible tells us that he searches for faith like a gem collector looking for fine jewels. And when he finds it, he is filled with joy. So I want you to think about this. Jesus is looking on the lookout for great faith. And this woman does not promote herself or her name. She exhibits faith. And Jesus gets all excited. And he says, you have great faith. Your faith is great. He didn't always find great faith in his disciples. I can't find a time where he looked at Peter or James or John and told them, you have great faith. But he did find it with a mom. Without even knowing her name. In fact, we could just call her mom. That's all she's known by is mom in this story. This woman. But she had great faith. I wonder, what did this woman do to deserve this kind of praise from Christ? There's really, I look at it from a perspective that there's really three things that she did to earn that kind of attention from Christ. And I think we can apply some of these lessons to our lives. If you want to jot something down, I think there's some space in your program today where you can jot some notes down or maybe type a little note in your device if you're following along in the Bible. Some of the things that she did, there were three of them. The first thing is she crossed great barriers. This woman had applause from Jesus because she crossed barriers in her life. She was female. She was a woman. That was a barrier in her time and culture. She was a Gentile, and she was a Canaanite. Here was a mother who, in her need, was prepared to cross any obstacle or barrier or anything that was in her way to find Jesus. She knew she needed him. Faith today still requires effort on your part and on mine. We must cross the things that get in our way or separate us from Christ. We must trust our faith in God more than the obstacle that stares right in front of us. Do you know that God is stronger than the obstacle you face? You know that? In fact, you can have such great faith that you can overcome that obstacle and have connection with Jesus Christ. What kind of barriers do we face? It's a different time, a different age. I'll list a couple. One of the barriers we often face is the barrier of time. We're often, quote unquote, too busy for the things of God. There's a book on my shelf. It's called Too Busy Not to Pray. I think that's a pretty good philosophy. You're so busy in your life that we can't afford not to pray. But sometimes you ever find yourself going to bed at night and thinking, I didn't read the Bible today. I didn't pray. What did I do with my life? I just work, take kids everywhere. What's going on? You kind of get caught up. I'm not the only one, am I, that ever faces that barrier. There's time challenges for us. It's an obstacle. What about knowledge? Some of you might say, I don't know that much about God. So how can I pray these great prayers? Or, you know, I read my Bible, I don't understand all these words, so I'm not gonna address that. And in your mind you start to apply these barriers. Well, I'm gonna tell you something. When you spend some time in prayer, that's how you learn to talk to God. And when you spend time reading the Bible, every time you read it, you'll start to understand it just maybe a little bit more, and you start talking about it, but oftentimes it's a barrier that we face. There are many barriers that we have in our lives, right? Our past, barrier. What about decisions that we've made, or maybe decisions we're making right now? They become real barriers in our lives. Maybe you have a bad habit, and it's a barrier in your life. And they're those little barriers that have a great effect on your life and on my life. Things that don't sound so grand, but they're barriers in your life from meeting Jesus. And this woman crosses the barriers. What is your barrier? Maybe it's that little lie or a wrong motive or being selfish or maybe coveting. Or maybe it's a secret sin. I don't know what your barrier is, but we all face them. But the mom that we read about in this text in Matthew crossed the barrier. Her faith, she walked in her faith, and her strength through faith was greater than her barrier. Her need for Christ to intervene in her life was greater than the tolerance of her pain. Did you hear that? The need for Christ to intervene in her life was greater than her tolerance for her pain. See, some of us, we give our life to Christ. It's the word salvation. And we realize that while the pain in my life is great, but separation from God is greater. And so I can walk away from what I think is control, and I lay my life down because the pain is so great. I need Jesus to make me whole and to heal me and to mend me. Or you look at this way and you say, well, without Christ, I'm going to spend eternity in a place that was created for the devil and his angels. Without Christ, that's where I will be, in this hell. But with Christ, I will spend an eternity with him in heaven. And we realize that that's greater. This is what happened to the woman. Her pain of having her daughter possessed by this demon was so great that she would cross every barrier that was in her way to get to Jesus. She needed Jesus. Her need for Christ and this mom was so great. There's two things I see here. It's one, there's a sense of desperation. She could not solve the problem in her own life. She couldn't deal with this. She couldn't solve the problem for her daughter or this child. She couldn't get rid of this demon. So she had to find Christ. She was desperate. It's an interesting place to be. Are you this morning, May 12th, 2013, desperate for Jesus? Can you solve the problems in your life apart from Christ? Some of you face sin, addiction, emotional bondage. You have children or loved ones that are separated from Christ or defeated. There's struggles in your finances and other great needs in your life. Are we desperate for Jesus? Or do we fully rely on the Lord? Do we follow the truth that's almost like a theme verse around here in Proverbs? It's chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. There's a song that we used to sing probably, I don't know, 10 years ago. The name of the song is Breathe. And the theme of this song is, I am desperate for Jesus. Here's some of the words of that song. This is the air I breathe, your holy presence living in me. It's like the air I breathe. Having the presence of God is like my air. I'm desperate. I need it. I will not be alive without his presence. Here's more words to that song. My daily bread, or your source of strength, your nourishment, right? Your daily bread is the very word of God. I cannot live without your word. I need to eat your word. It needs to be my source, my strength, my sustenance. Are you that desperate for God, or are you on a hunger strike? Without the presence of God and without the word, it's like you're on a spiritual hunger strike. Are you desperate? If we trust in ourselves, I like to call that our own limitations, we will not always know the right decisions to make. We don't always know the right actions to take. But if we trust in the Lord, not in ourselves, he will show us the path to take. We may not know all the answers, but we're certainly going to understand that the word shows us, it like lights up the path where to go. So this woman had a desperation, and she also had a love for her child. Love made her accept Jesus when he was silent. Remember when I said, remember this? When she made an appeal to Jesus and he said nothing? She loved her child so much that even at the silence of Christ, she kept pursuing him. Love made her suffer apparent rebuttals of the disciples. Remember what they said? Ah, get her out of here. She's bothering us. But she didn't go away. She appealed one more time. You know, we'll do anything for the ones we love, won't we? We'll sacrifice for them, give, defend them, whatever they need. Where does that come from? That comes from the demonstration of Jesus. In John 15, he said there's no greater love than to lay down one's life for his own friends. So this woman crossed great barriers. The second thing she did after crossing great barriers, it's simple, she persisted. She persisted. This mother refused to put off or to be intimidated. She was not going to take criticism of the disciples or silence even from Christ as her answer. This mom in our text persisted. If you have your Bible still open, I'm going to reread a couple of verses here, starting with verse 22. Listen to this part of the story again. A Gentile woman who lived there came to him pleading, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David, for my daughter is possessed by a demon. It torments her severely." Jesus had no reply, not even a word. Then his disciples urged him to send her away. She's talking about that. Drop down to verse 24. Then Jesus said, I was sent only to help God's lost sheep, the people of Israel. Now listen to verse 25. But she came and worshiped him. In her need, in what seemed to be rejection, in what seemed to be refusal, she came and worshiped him. She had a priority straight. And she pleaded one more time. She pleaded again, "Lord, just help me. Just help me." She kept coming. She persisted. When Jesus gave her no reply, he was silent in this part of the story. And we don't always know why Jesus appears to be silent when we pray. You ever felt like that before? Like you ask Christ something in the name of Jesus and you hear nothing? That's what this woman must have felt. But silence did not prevent her from asking again, from seeking, from knocking, if you will. The disciples rebuked her, telling her to go away. She's begging and bothering us. Maybe, and this is just one thought, maybe Jesus being silent was an opportunity for his disciples to put their own faith into action. You know, they did not have to tell to coach Christ to send her away. They could have met her right where she had a need. I don't know what Jesus was up to. Maybe that's what he was up to. Maybe there was something else. I don't know. But this mom did not let the silence or the rebuke keep her quiet. There's a young man who has cerebral palsy. His name is Ben Komen. I would have showed you the clip, but it's about 8 minutes long. It's just too long. But I'll maybe find a way to get that to you, maybe through our weekly email. You could sign up for that at mypathwaychurch.com. This is a story of a young man who has cerebral palsy. And he ran cross country with his high school. And as you can imagine, you know, he had a real limp on one side, didn't really control it that well. And people would finish the whole race, and he'd be the only one running. And there's several videos about this, and Ben would fall down. And there's one video of him I've watched. It's about 2 minutes long, and Ben just crawls the entire rest of the way to the finish line. This guy kept going, and he kept persisting. This one story in this 8-minute video that goes, and he's running, and he wanted so badly to be part of the championship cross-country team for his state, and he's running, and everyone had to finish the race and do that. And here's what happened in the story. He kept going, and he was all alone. It's kind of rainy. Everything's going bad, and he's falling down, and he get back up, and you're watching this, and you're thinking, man, with cerebral palsy, this he should just stop. Well, one by one, what happens is when the runners on his team finished the race, they went back and ran it again and found Ben. And they picked him up, and they started running with them. And suddenly you see this video, and here's Ben coming with this whole cross-country team supporting him. And they let him persist and finish the race. And Ben was part of the state championship cross-country team. It's an amazing story. What do I learn from that? Is no matter what everybody said, no matter if he was alone or he had help, he was going to persist toward that goal. You know, as Christians, sometimes we give up a little too soon. You remember that old song, "Don't Give Up, You're on the Brink of a Miracle." Remember that old song? Sometimes we're so close, just don't give up. Persist. Persist. The third quality of this mom, she crossed great barriers, she persisted. I say it like this, she pursued grace. She pursued grace. She relied on the grace that came only from Christ. When our Lord told her that if it didn't seem right to take bread from children of Israel and throw it to the little dogs of the Gentiles, she didn't burst in tears and go away. She didn't appeal to Jesus with an attitude of, "No, you owe me something." She didn't have a sense of entitlement. Instead, she gave Jesus an answer that really intrigued him and excited him. She said, "I know that I'm not deserving," I'm paraphrasing, "but I'm appealing for you to show me grace, even though there's nothing that I have done to deserve it." Well, it's no wonder that Jesus looked at this mom and said, "Your faith is great." There's no wonder that this mom had this daughter that was tormented by a demon. And at the end of that story, Jesus healed her and made her well because her faith was so great. Do you realize that faith means that we really don't see what's going on, but we do know what's going on? Listen to how the 11th chapter of Hebrews opens. Faith is confidence. Say that word with me. Confidence. Say it again. Confidence. Faith is confidence that what we hope for actually happened. And it's also assurance about the things we cannot see. Faith is having confidence even though circumstances show otherwise. It's an assurance that God is who he says he is, and he does that what he says he would do. That's what faith is. So when you are facing a troubling circumstance, be like this mom. Don't worry, don't fret. Cross every barrier through faith to meet Jesus. Don't give up. Persist through to meet Jesus. Receive the grace that the Bible describes it like this. His grace is enough for you. It's sufficient for you. That's what you need. Promote character in your life that reflects God more than promoting yourself. You know, I first want to, as I kind of maybe put some of this into action, I want to stop and I want to thank all of the moms that are in this room. And without even thinking about living your spiritual life, you model the behavior that I've described today. This morning, we're going to call you forward in just a moment and we're going to pray for you. And I thank you for being an example of great faith. But as believers, man, woman, mom or dad, boy or girl, grandma, grandpa, no matter who you are, you can walk with an example. With this example today, you can walk as a person that's known as having great faith. What do you need to do? Cross the barriers, persist, and receive God's grace. If we do that, if we say, "You know what, I'm going to make it through, I'm going to cross that barrier," it's like Jesus will look to you and say, "You have great faith. You do have great faith, believer, Christian. You have great faith." Now, I love Father's Day because it's a time where we get to stand up and call for men to be the priest of their home. But I love Mother's Day because moms, you do a lot of great work. I think my mom prayed for me more than my dad prayed for me. She's a mom of prayer. I'm honored to have her as my mom. In fact, all of you that are moms in here, we want to honor you today. I'm going to ask, and maybe just one or two instrumentalists would come, maybe if you wouldn't mind playing something lightly in the background, that would help. But I'm going to ask that the moms that are here today, now you might say, are you going to make me do something awkward? I'm going to try. That's what I'm going to try to do. If it feels a little awkward, I'm going to try to do something a little bit awkward. And here's what that means. In just a moment, I'm going to ask for moms to stand and walk up to the front and just kind of line up across the front. And if you're like, is that all you're going to ask us to do? The answer is yes. I'm not going to make you do anything else. Okay, but we want you to come forward to make it easy for us as a congregation to pray for you. So if you're a mom, I'd like for you right now to just stand up and walk to the front. To help moms do that, if everyone in the sanctuary would stand to your feet. And while they're doing that, some of our ushers are gathering some gifts. They'll meet us in front. They will hand out some gifts after we pray for you. You know, Mother's Day is an interesting day to preach if you're a pastor at a church. And I don't know how many Mother's Days I've done, probably since 9, I don't know, I can't even count them. Lots of Mother's Day sermons. And sometimes it feels like, how do you do this? I want to stop and say this. Thank you, moms, for carrying great character. Sometimes you do these things for your children, and you pray for your children and your families. And sometimes you feel like and you wonder, is it really working? Can I say it's working? Don't get tired doing it well. He answers your prayer. And as your pastor, I just say thank you. Thank you. Thank you for being a great mom. In a moment, we're going to pray, and after we pray, we'll hand out a gift to every mom. But these guys are preparing, and thank you for just hold tight. If your mom is here, and it's probably the minority, a lot of our kids are not in the room, but if your mom is here, if you want to come and stand by your mom, that might be a nice thing to do. And you might be in the congregation, and I asked moms up here to do something that might feel awkward, and maybe you're standing in the congregation or sitting and feels a little awkward. It's all right, don't feel awkward. You're part of a great family right now. You're husbands and men and spouses and friends and church family of some great people. In fact, every woman here is a great, great person. What I'd like to do is just to kind of push the envelope just a little bit more. If you are female, I'd like for you to join this group in the front of the church. And I know this is an emphasis on moms, but ladies, would you come? Because you're also great women of faith. And I believe that God wants to use you to do great things, to serve this church, to be prayerful, to be nurturing, to be loving. You know, all the way back to this child story, you're like, why did you read that? I want you to think of this bird. He looked all over the place for that completion in his life of mom. Oh, it's not the kitten, it's not the dog, it's not the snort, it's not all of these things. But when he found mom, he knew. Some of you moms, I've done the right things for such a long time, and your children will realize your investment. I want you to hang in there. I want you to hang in there, because you play a role that no one else on planet Earth can play for your kids, your mom. God's using you. Some of you are, maybe most of you are standing alone, but you're standing with a group. Maybe men, if you would do me the favor and kind of coming as a support for these ladies, kind of just in the back, if you want to kind of stand around where your spouse is or your relative or maybe just, maybe you don't have that relationship here and you just want to come as a man in this church and stand in support of these wonderful women of faith. I'd like for as many of you who can do this to come. You know, God doesn't answer our hopes. He answers our prayer. We can hope in the Lord, but I'm talking our wishes, our hopes, our come on, Lord, do. He answers your prayer. So we're going to pray for you, moms. And I'm going to lead us. If you're standing with your mom, or you're standing by a lady, or man, maybe God will encourage you to grab a hand, I don't know. I just want to pray. If you're here to support, I want you to support these ladies. Let me pray. Lord, I thank you so much for the gift of mothers. Lord, I thank you that we can read a story in God's Word and we can apply principles that was practiced by a mom that we can apply to our lives. By doing so, we become closer to Jesus. We become people of great faith. Lord, I pray for every single lady, whether they are known as a mom or not. I pray for grandmas and moms and daughters. I pray for women. That, Lord, the women of Pathway Church would be known as women who have great faith. That it can be said of them, your faith is great. Lord, we stand and support them as children, as men, as partners, as a support cast, the family of this congregation, this body. We stand, oh God, with these women of great faith. I pray that they would not grow tired in doing it well. But I pray they would be blessed like rubies and jewels. Lord, the sacrifices that moms make, I pray would not get overlooked. They don't get overlooked by you. Answer these prayers of these moms. What's on the desires of their heart right now, I pray you would grant them those desires. Fill their lives with hope and strength. May their dreams come true as they dream in line with your word and by your spirit. I thank you for each one, and I pray and speak blessing to the ladies of this church, and particularly today for moms. Bless them. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Before you find your way to your seat, some of these men have some gifts for you, moms. And ladies, there's probably enough for every one of you to have one. So men are standing in these aisles. Can you please grab one? And if your mom's not here today and you're like, hey, can I get a gift from my mom? Yes, you can. You can take one and make sure that we could do that. Lord bless you today. Celebrate your mom. Celebrate Jesus, the risen Savior, who is Christ. Lord bless you. Amen.